Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, it's kind of interesting in light of what I shared at the beginning. What did I tell you? This was supposed to be about some form of entertainment, tugging at emotions, somehow presenting some sort of compelling case. These guys are freaking boring. And they've had nothing of substance to say, at least that I've heard. Nothing that would, in any way, implicate the President of the United States. Bill Taylor, still speaking, the official who is one of those who has agreed to testify. Let's listen to a little bit more. We're going to keep this guy on a very short leash as we hold court here on the Vince Coakley radio program, because if this continues to drone on and on and on, we will not listen. Let's check it out.
Cooperation on investigations to get to the bottom of things. Once President Zelensky joined the call, the conversation was focused on energy policy and the war in Donbass. President Zelensky also said he looked forward to the White House visit President Trump had offered in his May 29th letter. By mid-July, it was becoming clear to me that the meeting President Zelensky wanted was conditioned on the investigations of Burisma and alleged Ukrainian interference in the 2016 U.S. elections. It was also clear that this condition was driven by the irregular policy channel I had come to understand was guided by Mr. Giuliani. In a regular NSC secure video conference call on July 18th, I heard a staff person from the Office of Management and Budget say that there was a hold on security assistance to Ukraine, but could not say why. Toward the end of an otherwise normal meeting, a voice on the call, the person was off screen, said that she was from OMB and her boss had instructed her not to approve any additional spending on security assistance for Ukraine until further notice. I and others sat in astonishment. The Ukrainians were fighting Russians and counted on not only the training and weapons, but also the assurance of U.S. support. All that the OMB staff person said was that the directive had come from the president to the chief of staff to OMB. In an instant, I realized that one of the key pillars of our strong support for Ukraine was threatened. The irregular policy channel was running contrary to the goals of longstanding U.S. policy. There followed a series of NSC-led interagency meetings, starting at the staff level and quickly reaching the level of cabinet secretaries. At every meeting, the unanimous conclusion was that the security assistance should be resumed, the hold lifted. At one point, the Defense Department was asked to perform an analysis of the effectiveness of the assistance. Within a day, the Defense Department came back with the determination that the assistance was effective and should be resumed. My understanding was that the Secretaries of Defense and State, the CIA Director, and the National Security Advisor sought a joint meeting with the President to convince him to release the hold, but such a meeting was hard to schedule and the hold lasted well into September. On July 9th, in a phone call with then Senior Director for European and Russian Affairs Fiona Hill and Director of European Affairs, Lieutenant Colonel Alex Vindman at the NSC, they tried to assure me that they were not aware of any official change in U.S. policy towards Ukraine, OMB's announcement notwithstanding. They did confirm that the hold on security assistance for Ukraine came from Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, who maintained a skeptical view of Ukraine. In the same July 19th phone call, they gave me an account of a July 10th meeting with Ukrainian and American officials at the White House. They told me that partway through the meeting, Ambassador Sondland had connected investigations with an Oval Office meeting for President Zelensky, which so irritated then National Security Advisor John Bolton that he abruptly ended the meeting, telling Dr. Hill and Lieutenant Colonel Vindman that they should have nothing to do with domestic politics. He also directed Dr. Hill to brief the lawyers. Dr. Hill said that Ambassador Bolton referred to this deal as a drug deal after the July 10th meeting. Ambassador Bolton opposed a call between President Zelensky and President Trump out of concern that it would be a disaster. Needless to say, the Ukrainians in the meetings were confused. Ambassador Bolton, in the regular Ukraine policy decision-making channel, wanted to talk about security, energy, and reform. Ambassador Sondland, a participant in the irregular channel, wanted to talk about the connection between a White House meeting and Ukrainian investigations. Also during our July 19th call, Dr. Hill informed me that Ambassador Volker had met with Mr. Giuliani to discuss Ukraine. This caught me by surprise. The next day, I asked Ambassador Volker about that meeting, but received no response. I began to sense that these two separate decision-making channels, the regular and the irregular, were separate and at odds. Later that day, I received text messages on a three-way WhatsApp text conversation with Ambassadors Volker and Sondland, a record of which was provided by Ambassador Volker. Ambassador Sondland said that a call between President Trump and President Zelensky would take place soon. Ambassador Volker said that what was most important is for Zelensky to say that he will help investigation and address any specific personnel issues, if there are any. On the next day, July 20th, I had a phone conversation with Ambassador Sondland while he was on a train from Paris to London. Ambassador Sondland told me that he had recommended to President Zelensky that he use the phrase, "I will leave no stone unturned," with regard to investigations when President Zelensky spoke with President Trump.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Also on July 20th, I had a phone conversation with Alexander Danyluk, President Zelensky's national security advisor, who emphasized that President Zelensky did not want to be used as an instrument in a U.S. re-election campaign. The next day, I texted both Ambassadors Volker and Sondland about President Zelensky's concern. On July 25th, President Trump and President Zelensky had the long-awaited phone conversation. Even though I was acting ambassador and was scheduled to meet with President Zelensky along with Ambassador Volker the following day, I received no readout of the call from the White House. The Ukrainian government issued a short, cryptic summary. During a previously planned July 26 meeting, President Zelensky told Ambassador Volker and me that he was happy with the call, but did not elaborate. President Zelensky then asked about the face-to-face meeting in the Oval Office as promised in the May 29th letter from President Trump. We could give him no firm answer. After our meeting with President Zelensky, Ambassador Volker and I traveled to the front line in northern Donbas to receive a briefing from the commander of forces on the line of contact. Arriving for the briefing in the military headquarters, the commander thanked us for the security assistance. But I was aware that this assistance was on hold, which made me uncomfortable. Ambassador Volker and I could see the armed and hostile Russian-led forces on the other side of the damaged bridge across the line of contact. Russian-led forces continue to kill Ukrainians in the war one or two a week. More Ukrainians would undoubtedly die without the U.S. assistance. Although I spent the morning of July 26th with President Zelensky and other Ukrainian officials, the first summary of the July 25th Trump-Zelensky call that I heard from anybody inside the U.S. government was during a phone call I had with Tim Morrison, Dr. Hill's recent replacement at the NSC on July 28th.
William Taylor, acting ambassador to Ukraine. We'll continue our coverage. Stay with us. We've been listening to Ambassador William Taylor. He is the acting ambassador to Ukraine. And we'll listen to a little bit more. And if you'd like to call in and offer any of your thoughts or perspective on what you've heard so far or text, feel free to do so. Let's listen in.
Mr. Morrison testified at his deposition that Ambassador Sondland proposed it might be sufficient for the Ukrainian prosecutor general to commit to pursue the investigations as opposed to President Zelensky. But this was the first time that I had heard that the security assistance, not just the White House meeting, was conditioned on the investigations. Very concerned, on that same day, September 1st, I sent Ambassador Sondland a text message asking if we are now saying that the security assistance and a White House meeting are conditioned on investigations. Ambassador Sondland responded, asking me to call him, which I did. During that phone call, Ambassador Sondland told me that President Trump had told him that he wants President Zelensky to state publicly that Ukraine will investigate Burisma and alleged Ukrainian interference in the 2016 election. Ambassador Sondland also told me that he now recognized that he had made a mistake by earlier telling Ukrainian officials that only a White House meeting with President Zelensky was dependent on a public announcement of the investigations. In fact, Ambassador Sondland said, everything was dependent on such an announcement, including security assistance. He said that President Trump wanted President Zelensky in a public box by making a public statement about ordering such investigations. In the same September 1st call, I told Ambassador Sondland that President Trump should have more respect for another head of state and that what he described was not in the interest of either President Trump or President Zelensky. At that point, I asked Ambassador Sondland to push back on President Trump's demand. Ambassador Sondland pledged to try. I suggested the possibility that Ukrainian prosecutor general, rather than President Zelensky, would make a statement about the investigations, potentially in coordination with Attorney General Barr's probe into the investigation of interference in the 2016 elections. The next day, September 2nd, Mr. Morrison called to inform me that Mr. Danyluk had asked him to come to his hotel in Warsaw. Mr. Danyluk expressed President Zelensky's concern about the possible loss of U.S. support for Ukraine. In particular, Mr. Morrison relayed to me that the inability of any U.S. officials to respond to the Ukrainians' explicit questions about security assistance was troubling them. I was experiencing the same tension in my dealings with the Ukrainians, including a meeting I had had with the defense minister that day. On September 5th, I accompanied Senators Johnson and Murphy during their visit to Kyiv. When we met with President Zelensky, his first question to the senators was about the withheld security assistance. My recollection of the meeting is that both senators stressed that bipartisan support for Ukraine in Washington was Ukraine's most important strategic asset, and that President Zelensky should not jeopardize that bipartisan support by getting drawn in to U.S. domestic politics. I had been making, and continue to make, this point to all of my official Ukrainian contacts. But the odd push to make President Zelensky publicly commit to investigations of Burisma and alleged interference in the 2016 election showed how the official foreign policy of the United States was undercut by the irregular efforts led by Mr. Giuliani. 2 days later, September 7th, I had a conversation with Mr. Morrison in which he described a phone conversation earlier that day between Ambassador Sondland and President Trump. Mr. Morrison said that he had a sinking feeling after learning about this conversation from Ambassador Sondland. According to Mr. Morrison, President Trump told Ambassador Sondland he was not asking for a quid pro quo. But President Trump did insist that President Zelensky go to a microphone and say he is opening investigations of Biden and 2016 election interference, and that President Zelensky should want to do this himself. Mr. Morrison said that he told Ambassador Bolton and the NSC lawyers of this phone call between President Trump and Ambassador Sondland. The following day, on September 8th, Ambassador Sondland and I spoke on the phone. He confirmed that he had talked to President Trump, as I had suggested a week earlier, but that President Trump was adamant that President Zelensky himself had to clear things up and do it in public. President Trump said it was not a quid pro quo. I believe this was the same conversation between Ambassador Sondland and President Trump that Mr. Morrison had described to me on September 7th. Ambassador Sondland also said that he had talked to President Zelensky and Mr. Yermak and had told them that although this was not a quid pro quo, if President Zelensky did not clear things up in public, we would be at a stalemate. I understood a stalemate to mean that Ukraine would not receive the much-needed military assistance. Ambassador Sondland said that this conversation concluded with President Zelensky agreeing to make a public statement in an interview on CNN. Shortly after that call with Ambassador Sondland, I expressed my strong reservations in a text message to Ambassador Sondland, stating that my nightmare is that they, the Ukrainians, give the interview and don't get the security assistance. The Russians love it, and I quit. And I was serious. The next day, September 9th, I said to Ambassador Sondland and Volker that the message to the Ukrainians and the Russians we send with the decision on security assistance is key. With the hold, we have already shaken their faith in us. I also said, I think it's crazy to withhold security assistance for help with the political campaign. Ambassador Sondland responded about 5 hours later that I was incorrect about President Trump's intentions. The president has been crystal clear, no quid pro quos of any kind. During our call on September 8th, Ambassador Sondland tried to explain to me that President Trump is a businessman. When a businessman is about to sign a check to someone who owes him something, the businessman asks that person to pay up before signing the check. Ambassador Volker used the same language several days later while we were together at the Yalta European Strategy Conference. I argued to both that the explanation made no sense. Ukrainians did not owe President Trump anything. And holding up security assistance for domestic political gain was crazy, as I had said in my text message to Ambassador Sondland and Volker on September 9th. Finally, on September 11th, I learned that the hold had been lifted and security assistance would be provided. I was not told the reason why the hold had been lifted. The next day, I personally conveyed the news to President Zelensky and the Ukrainian foreign minister, and I again reminded Mr. Yermak of the high strategic value of bipartisan support for Ukraine and the importance of not getting involved in other countries' elections. My fear at the time was that since Ambassador Sondland had told me President Zelensky had already agreed to do a CNN interview, President Zelensky would make a statement regarding investigations that would have played into domestic U.S. politics. I sought to confirm through Mr. Danyluk that President Zelensky was not planning to give such an interview to the media. While Mr. Danyluk initially confirmed that on September 12th, I noticed during a meeting on the morning of September 13th at President Zelensky's office that Mr. Yermak looked uncomfortable in response to the question.
William Taylor, acting ambassador to Ukraine. I love this. Got a great comment from Steve Dace on these proceedings and how long they may go, including in the Senate. We'll talk about it coming up.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back on the Vince Coakley radio program right now, Adam Schiff is having kind of a Q&A with Ambassador Taylor. We're not going to listen to any more of this, especially with this Q&A, because this has really gone nowhere. I mean, and this is pretty much what I expected. This is nothing. There is no crime that's been committed here. I'll just tell you what it sounds like to me. Somebody dared to conduct foreign policy in a way that was different than what I was doing before. That's it. That's all I'm hearing here. A bunch of bureaucrats who resent the idea that somebody's doing something different than their august minds have proposed. It's really pathetic. Quite pathetic. Ah, my goodness. I don't know what else to say to this beyond what we've already communicated. I will tell you, I think this is quite appropriate. A story reported by The Hill. Therapy dogs slated to visit Capitol Hill today. Don't you think they're needed? Some cuddly canines coming to the rescue of stressed out Capitol Hill staffers. Pet Partners, a therapy animal organization and the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council, are bringing a batch of furry friends to the halls of Congress. They will be roughing it today. 11 o'clock is the start time, a little delayed reaction, until 3 o'clock. Who better to bring comfort and relief to the hardworking folks on Capitol Hill than a furry group of loving, intuitive, and bipartisan Pet Partners therapy animals? The groups asked in a news release touting the event. The animals, these are registered therapy dogs, are meant to offer congressional staff a break from the stress of wrapping up an exceptionally busy year and to demonstrate the health and wellness benefits of the human-animal bond. You know, I'm just going to say it. Can we find some trained Rottweilers and let them loose right now in this hearing? Make sure they know the scent of Adam Schiff. That's the only scent you want to focus on. My goodness. And Charles suggesting Congress going to the dogs. Yes, I think you may be barking up the wrong tree on that one. Let us go out to Steve in Charlotte. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, Vince, I don't know if you noticed it. First of all, I think you're absolutely right that many in the State Department are upset that Trump's doing foreign policy a little differently than they're accustomed to. But when you were listening to Ambassador Taylor's comments, did you hear a quid pro quo being offered by him in that he went back to the Ukrainians repeatedly and said, You need bipartisan support for your own security, so just don't go there in investigating corruption.
Aha. So you're saying that he was offering something of his own.
Exactly. Exactly. And quid pro quo, Latin, this for that. I'll give you this if you give me that. And what he's saying is, what I want to give you is bipartisan support, because you've got to have it in order to get the aid released. And my friend, you're going to lose it if you start investigating this corruption.
Yep. That is kind of interesting, the perspective you offer there, Steve. And again, it all comes down to who is making the offer, doesn't it, Steve?
Well, exactly. And it's the thing that, hey, we run foreign policy, not the president. Well, the president has the right to not use the State Department at all.
Yep.
Conducting his foreign policy if he wants to.
You know, I would suggest that one of the best things they could probably do is just get rid of the entire State Department staff and start all over with.
Well, the thing is you'd start off with everybody that had been trained by Council of Foreign Relations people at Yale and Harvard anyway. So
tell me about it.
You'd be right back in the same place. It's like you get rid of John Legend, and there will be five people with better voices to replace him. So you're going to have to kind of just say, we're going to go outside the apparatus and the group thing.
Which I suggest that
maybe you go to, you know, Pitt or something.
This is probably why Rudy Giuliani was involved.
Well, I think so, because he had to have somebody he could trust that wasn't going to leak like a sieve. And so you go outside simply because he was charged with draining the swamp, and the swamp is trying to come back to bite him.
Yep, I think you've made some interesting points here, Steve. Thank you very much for your call this morning. Let's take the opportunity to take a look at the day in history, shall we? As we go down to our upstate studio in Greenville, South Carolina, our good friend Lonzo, how are you today, sir?
I'm awake now.
Okay. You're don't get me started. We began at 1835. Five questions for you today. This particular state proclaimed independence from Mexico.
New Mexico.
1835.
New Mexico.
Oh, my. I need to finish the hint.
Texas.
There you go. The Lone Star Republic. 1940. This particular production debuted in theaters. 1940. Production of Walt Disney. And there's a an American Idol contestant with the same name. What is it?
Fantasia.
Excellent. Excellent. The official age for this lowered from 21 to 18, but men are the only ones affected by this. 1942.
Selective service.
You are correct, as in the draft. 1956. The Supreme Court struck down laws allowing this to take place. It would mean that I would be sitting in the back of something.
Segregation.
Segregation. You are correct. In 1982, this particular memorial dedicated in Washington, D.C., a lot of people say this was a long time coming. Based on the way so many of these veterans were treated.
Vietnam.
You are correct. Vietnam Veterans Memorial, designed by Maya Lin. Great job there, Lonzo, as usual. Have yourself a great day, sir.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back on the final stretch, the Vince Coakley radio program on this Wednesday. Over on the text line, agreement with what I shared before the break, that what we have here are a lot of bureaucrats who, frankly, are just not thrilled with the way foreign policy is being conducted. And this is not a matter of whether you or I agree or disagree with the president. The issue is, does the president have the right to conduct foreign policy in a way that he chooses? It's really that simple. And these guys sound like they're just complaining that things were not done their way. This texter saying, Vince, you nailed it. All I hear is, I don't like how Trump does things. He's doing it all wrong. Because we've been embedded in government so long, we know how to do it the right way. Wah, wah, wah. All this is, someone's doing foreign policy different than what we've done for decades. The bureaucrats, swamp creatures, don't like not being able to control foreign aid. Bureaucratic operatives and politicians have gotten rich from taxpayers' money disguised as foreign aid. Yep, that's how this thing works. You're right, Vince. These globalist cake eaters don't want to put America first. Just continue the status quo. And we have this in response to the smart aleck remark I made before the break. Vince, if you did let Rottweilers loose on Adam Schiff, they will already have his scent. Remember, dogs smell their own butts. Alrighty. Post here from Steve Dace, actually before these proceedings started today, looking ahead to the Senate side, if it ever makes it there. This texter saying, Steve Dace actually saying, Senator Richard Burr says the Trump impeachment trial will last 6 to 8 weeks. Think about this, 6 to 8 weeks. If this is a sampling today of what we would get for 6 to 8 weeks, they will literally bore the nation to death. Here's what Steve says. So this will go 6 to 8 weeks, go from 12:30 to 6:30, 6 days a week. I really feel like the writers could be overplaying their hand here with such a prolonged season. Think of what Peter Jackson did wrong by splitting The Hobbit into 3 average movies. That's really what you're talking about here. That's what you end up with. Mediocre. John Blust, I need a transcript of Nunes' opening statement. He flushed the Schiff down the toilet. Totally unrelated to this, I thought this was quite amusing. Yesterday evening, people in the college basketball world are quite shocked by the fact that Evansville beat Kentucky last night, 67-64. And then Kentucky was ranked number one. They got beat 67-64. My friend George said this, I'm pretty sure that Trump left bad juju in Rupp Arena. Call an exorcist. Make UK great again. Referring to the rally the president held at Rupp Arena just a few weeks ago. Let's go out to a call from Todd in Fountain Inn. Good morning.
Good morning, Vince. You know, you're right, because all this is a sham. All it is political hit. I mean, they've got nothing. They've never had nothing. If they had something, trust me, they would have been all over the news about it. I mean, it'd have been rammed down our throats. Also, with the dogs going into the Congress, they got dogs that can detect lying, you know, people that's lying. I would love to see a load of those get into Congress right now and watch that ship go crazy and ask, why are those dogs barking so much? And someone say, they only bark when someone is lying. And watch his reaction. See how quickly the Pooch Patrol gets kicked out of Congress and never welcome back.
Yeah, I hear you, Todd. Thanks very much for your call. Someone else on the text line saying, I absolutely love how y'all are using TV crime drama music as intros and outros today. That is the handiwork of one Johnny, who is having a real blast doing this. It's quite amusing. Another person saying, if you have a TV, look over the left shoulder of Taylor on the right side of the screen. Does that guy have black eyes? Looks like a demon. You just never know. Another person saying, let's not forget the very first whistleblower. Yes, Monica Lewinsky. Yeah, did we have to go there, folks? That is so terrible. You should be ashamed of yourselves. That is pretty bad. And also on the lighter side, we have this. Because we need something on the lighter side. You know, can you imagine? Think of this going on for weeks. First in the House and then in the Senate. I'm just going to go out on a ledge here with a prediction. If this is all they've got, this is going to bomb. I don't even see them getting the votes to pass impeachment. I mean, they would make absolute idiots out of themselves if the Democrats followed through. They darn well better have some bombshell, because so far, I've heard nothing. As I said, on the lighter side, I have a good friend I used to work with in television in Louisville, Kentucky years ago. Every day, he's always posting these humorous things, including this one. My buddy confessed to me that he's in love with two women. He wants to marry one of them. One makes incredible pancakes. The other writes beautiful poetry. He can't decide whether to marry for batter or for verse. That's pretty bad. Ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for today. Have yourselves a good rest of the day, and God bless you. Take care.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.